We have served 34 years in Burkina Faso, West Africa, and this morning someone said, "Where's that?" It does, it's an odd name. So I'm going to ask Jessica to come up and show us the map of Africa. This is a tie-dye map handmade in Burkina. She was born there, but she might not know a lot about. Okay, one more turn. There you go. Okay. Burkina Faso, I always tell the little kids that it looks like this is, can you hold it just a bit higher? I didn't mean to block you out, but this is like someone's nose and the top of their forehead and the back of their head and their neck. And I always say that just about where the ear would be on someone's profile, that's where Burkina is. It's a landlocked country. The population is about 14 million, 16 million now. It's grown. And I declare all 16 million people are in the Bobo market when I want to go shopping. It is a diverse country. It's landlocked. We don't have a navy. And it's very poor. We have a rainy season, a dry season. Mostly it's dry. And if you don't grow it or you can't make it, you usually don't have it. Most people live on like 50 cents a day if they live in the bush. So it's a very poor country. But yet God is at work there. It is a country that's very diverse as far as languages. We have 72 different languages. Those are languages, not dialects. Within each language, you have four or five dialects. And the size of Burkina is only about the size of the state of Colorado. So you go 10 miles down the road, you're in a different language. And when we arrived in Burkina, they said, we have to assign you to one language group. You can't learn them all. And we were assigned to work with the Bobo Madare people, and the language is the Bobo Madare. and that is where we worked. Of all the people there, they are all animists. That means I don't want to say they worship evil spirits. They appease them. They know the presence of evil spirits, and they appease them. And basically our work was in enemy strongholds. And I'll tell you, the people like you folks here back home, we do covet your prayers. Maybe you don't know the names of the villages where we live. God knows. And when you pray, God does break down the strongholds. The Bobo have a kind of a tale that they like to tell about the beginning of things. And they say, in the beginning, God created man and woman. Well, they're pretty right theologically, aren't they? Is that correct? But what you didn't know was that the first man, the first woman were Bobo. So you didn't know that. And the heavenly language will be Bobo, right? the first man and woman were Bobo, and God laid a law down on the woman and said to her, now when you go into your cookhouse to cook, when you build your fire, I want you to close the door of the hut, because if you don't, the smoke comes out of the door, comes up into the heavens, winds around and gets into my eyes and burns my eyes, and I don't like that. So for a long time, the first woman tried very carefully to be, you know, keep the door on the cook hut closed. But one day, she was probably in a hurry, I don't know, but she left the door open. The smoke came out of the cookhouse, went up into the sky, got into God's eyes, and he got so angry, he ran off, just ran off. Now, in Africa, you would not find, it'd be very hard for you to find an atheist. Every African believes in God. That's the good news. The bad news is they think that God is far away, he doesn't love them, he doesn't care about them, and that he can do good things, and he does bad things to you too. That's what they think. And they believe that God left them in this world to do battle with the evil spirits. And so when you hear about people putting curses on others to die or to ruin their crops or something like that, it sounds very mean. But the thing is, if you live in constant fear that if you do something out of line, the evil spirits will kill your child, will make your wife so she can't bear children, will ruin your crops, could kill you, you will do some strange things. I would guarantee that you and I, not knowing about Jesus Christ, if we grew up in that atmosphere, would do the same thing. They are not mean people. They are people who need the Lord Jesus Christ, very fearful. That's the bad news. The good news is the gospel has come to Burkina Faso. The gospel has come to the Bobo Madarisi people. And this morning, we'd like to share the testimony of a Bobo man. This is a true testimony. And this man is still living in the village of Faux where we lived. His name is Jeremy. And we'd like to share with you what God has done in his life.
Di chi? Ma no.
Ama. Pesarmo. Borsmatia. Domada. Nekwana.
Eti?
Beni pla.
Ma visa.
Ma.
Beda.
Eti? Eti?
I pla.
Ma visa.
Beno mani.
Eti?
Memanga.
Ati?
Akere.
Forona.
Ah. Ah. Ma zesi kaza.
Ah. Ati akene. Oh, asa gedia ta. Ya ya.
Ati.
Nimi sala. Eglizik ma.
Ati pepiti.
Ona ti ma.
Chiara ti.
Beni pla.
Ma visa.
Ama.
Ama mi pla.
Ama visa. We just said hello. If you're in a hurry and you see someone coming down the road, jump behind a tree because you'll never make it there in time. He said, maybe you'd like to hear his testimony? Oh, that would be sweet to me. That would really be sweet to me. Because Jesus Christ, his matter is very sweet to me. Jesus Christ took my matter and just turned it all around. Jesus is good. My name is Samate, family name, Jeremy. And the village where I grew up is called Fo. And all my fathers and their fathers were born in the village of Fo. And they all worshipped or appeased the evil spirits. And they taught me how to do all the things to please the evil spirits. And I really understood that type of worship.
And
they told me that if I really pleased the evil spirits, then they'd be pleased with me and they would help me. Evil spirits would be happy to please me. No, the evil spirits do not care at all about the people who worship them. I was really, really in need. Oh, I didn't have food to eat. Didn't have any money. And my wife would cry all the time. And my children went to bed hungry. I was really poor. I went to a different village. And I thought, if the sacrifices in my village don't work, maybe they'll work in some other village. I spent a lot of money, but they did nothing. My wife and I were just distressed. We said to each other, what are we going to do? And one day there were some people who got up from the big town of Bobo Dioulasso and came to my village of Fo. There was a white person in the midst of them. And they said they wanted to do something they called teaching or preaching. I said, fine, I don't have anything to do, I'll listen to you. And they started. First thing they said was, God loves you. I laughed. I said, God loves us? I don't think so. God ran off and left us. He doesn't even think about us anymore. No, we're here and we just have to suffer. We suffer because there are evil spirits in this world. And they said, no, listen to us. He said, God loves us so much that God has done something to change that matter. And they said, yeah, you're right. There is something between us. There's something between us and God, and he's not happy with our matter. And we can work and we can do everything, all kinds of sacrifices, but we can't change that thing that's between us and God. But God loved us so much that he himself took care of that matter that separates us from him. God has a son, and he sent his only beloved son into this world. And he walked among us here. It was a man. His matter was good. And he did many wonderful things.
Ca ultimi amăriri.
But then after that he died. That thing that's between us, separating us and God. God said to take care of that thing that separates us from God and God and us, there has to be shedding of blood. And no sacrifice, but he sent his son to do that, to be the sacrifice. And the matter's finished. Matter's finished. We can put ourselves in his hands. If we can give ourselves to him, and it will be better. I said, whoa, that's really good. That's really good. So I have to believe that, and then my matter will be better. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's something else. You understand there are a lot of evil spirits. And if I'm walking on the evil spirits road and then I change and walk on God's road, those spirits aren't going to be happy. They'll raise up against me. And they could kill me. And they said, no, now listen to us. And they said, we understand the evil spirit matter is a big matter. It's a real matter. And we understand we have to be very careful. But we don't have to be afraid of them. When Jesus Christ died, he died to give us power over the evil ones.
Yeah.
I said, no, that I can't, that couldn't be. And they said, yes, that's the way it is. And they said, even they, when they minister, chase away the evil spirits. We pray through the blood of Jesus, and Jesus comes and chases those evil spirits away.
I
said, is that true? I don't think a person can do that. I don't think anybody can do that. They said, yes, it can be done. It's true. Our words are true. And I'm just so tired of the evil spirits. To be able to chase them, that would be a relief to me. So if you're willing to help me, I want to give myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, my wife and I both prayed to receive Christ. Oh, that was such a good thing. You understand that those evil spirits just troubled us. One day, my cows were lost. I looked for them and I went to a faraway village. And this village was not among the Bobo, this was among the Bolon tribe. There was this guy there. He had a chicken under his arm. And he was walking like he had a burden. I said, hey, guy.
Hey,
what's up? That's what it means. I knew when I saw that chicken under his arm, he was going up on a hill to make a sacrifice. And I asked him, and he said, yeah, I have to go make a sacrifice. My child is sick. And the witch doctor said, I have to do a sacrifice.
Hey, Baba.
I said, hey, guy. I said, hey, if you're agreed, I'd like to tell you about a friend of mine, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, okay. And so I told him everything that I knew about Jesus. And he said, wow, that's really good. That's a miracle. And he said, this Jesus, he's willing to come into my life? Oh, that's a miracle. And so that day, the guy from the Bolon tribe and myself, we just knelt down right there in the path, and he gave his heart to Jesus.
Boom!
He says, wow, this it's such peace, it's so good. So I can just go back home now, right? And I said, that's the way it is. And so I go home and all I need to do is pray for my child and God will heal my child. I said, yep, that's the way it works. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, he says, it's chicken. I'm going to go back home and we'll just cook this chicken and eat it. You see, Jesus Christ, his matter is so good. His matter is good. But you understand that we live here in this world. And the world's matter can be hard sometimes. We're here in the world, and sometimes, even though we're believers, we suffer. Sometimes we're sick. And all this suffering that we go through, it's in God's Word. God tells us in His Word how to go through suffering and that He'll be with us. One day my daughter Sita was very sick. And it was a Sunday, and my wife and I, I'm a lay preacher, my wife and I were going to another village to teach. When we were getting ready to leave, Sita said, I'd like to go with you too. And I said, no, Sita, you're pretty sick. You stay with your grandma. So we left. When we were teaching, I looked up and I saw this guy coming from my village running toward me. He was running. And he said, Jeremy, you better turn around and get back home in a hurry. So we ran home. And when we got to our yard, our daughter Sita was dead. It was hard. It was really, really hard. But you know, God's Word tells us all about things that happen to us like that. But the Bible tells us that if a person dies and he's a believer in Christ, he'll go to heaven to be with Jesus. So we knew that one day I'm going to be with Jesus. Is that not a miracle? To die, that's not a big deal. Dying is not a big deal because we have God's Word to help us through that. We're gonna join ourselves with Jesus. When our daughter died, we had to do a funeral. The Bobo funerals last several days, and we sit in our yard. We sit in our yards and wait, and then the people all come and greet us, and they say, you know, God bless you, and God give the person who died a cool resting place, and they greet us. One day, this old woman came to greet.
Jeremy.
She sat down and said, Jeremy, you have to make a sacrifice.
Oh, Mama, she, somebody.
I said, hey, old woman, back off. That's what it means. I told her, I said, you know that I'm not in that matter anymore. I don't do sacrifices.
No.
Oh, she said, no. No, she said, an evil spirit spoke to me and said, you have to go up on a hill. And you have to pick a certain kind of fruit. It's like a Siamese type of fruit. Two fruits grown together. You break them apart. And you throw one part out. That represents Sita, who's already died. But there's the other half you guard. You guard it and guard it. If you don't guard it, you'll lose a second child. Oh, Jeremy, you have to do this sacrifice. No, I said, no, I don't do that. My whole matter is in Jesus' hands. I don't do that. Oh, she got mad and took off. The village chief came, greeted me. Jeremy, you better listen and make that sacrifice. And so by the village chief saying this, it was obvious that the whole village had heard her prophecy. And the whole village had heard her prophecy and they were watching me. I said, Chief, I can't do that. I'm not in that matter anymore.
No,
he said, it's not a problem. You can do that and then you can go back to following Jesus. Then you can, you know, it doesn't make any difference. I said, no, I can't do that. And he says, well, it's your matter. Do what you want. After the funeral, our son David became sick. Oh, he was really sick. He was sick enough that we took him to the village dispensary. They gave him, I can never think of this, an IV. And he got better, and then we went back home. But then in the evening, he started to become unconscious. He was in and out. And I said, I'm going to call the church people. They came. We prayed for him. And David, before they prayed, David looked up and said, could I pray for myself? You see, my children were all following Jesus. And I said, of course you can pray. And that was really sweet to me to hear my child want to pray. He said, Lord Jesus, if you're agreed to heal me, I'll follow you and I'll work for you. Amen. Oh, I was so... It was so sweet to me to hear him pray like that. After the church people prayed, they went back home. And night fell. And at that point then, he developed a high fever. He became unconscious, and I said, we've got to go back to the dispensary. And when we arrived there, they started getting him ready for another IV. And the doctor got me aside, and he said, Jeremy, you need to know that this is pretty grave. This is pretty serious. I can do what I can do, but... He's gravely ill. We prayed and we prayed. About 10 o'clock, the missionary came over to the dispensary. And he said, I'd like to put some oil on him and pray for him. I said, put oil on him? Why? Because that's what God's word tells us to do. He took his Bible and he read me some verses from the book of James. If a person's sick, you call the people from the believers from the church. And you pray for the person by anointing them with oil. You pray in the name of the Lord Jesus and pray.
And
Okay, when you pray with faith, and you anoint with oil and pray with faith, Jesus heals. I said, well, if that's what it says in God's word, that's certainly what we're going to do. So the missionary put oil on him, prayed for him, and all of those of us who were there prayed. Oh, we cried. It was hard. You see, it was more than an illness. It was a battle with Satan. It was hard. Oh, Lord. Please don't forget us. All the villagers are watching us. They are hoping your name will be spoiled. Oh, Lord, please listen to us. Please hear us. We cried, we prayed, we cried. About 2 o'clock in the morning, David just sat up in the bed like this. He said, Dad, I'm hungry. And that morning, they said, there's nothing wrong with this kid, and they threw him out. They sent him home. Jesus is good. Jesus' matter is very sweet to me. We understand that when we live in this world, we go through a lot of suffering, but God's word is there to guide us on our way. And God's word tells us that Jesus Christ will be with us, he'll walk with us, he will never leave us. His matter is good. And this morning there's something I want to say to each one of you.
Barca.
Thank you.
Barca.
Thank you,
thank you.
If the missionaries had not come to my place, where would I be today? In fact, I don't even want to think about that. You understand that the missionaries came to my place because people like you and you and you, congregations like you, were agreed to do what it takes to get missionaries there. I know it's hard. It's a big work that you do, sending missionaries. It takes a lot of money. And praying is a hard work. But we do have to send some. And it's hard. But the work is hard, I know, but there are lots of people like Jeremy all over this world. And they say thank you to you. If they were here today, they would thank you. That's my testimony. Thank you.
No, I'm not done yet. Oh, okay. Because when I get started, I don't stop. When I preach in Africa, I have to do 45 minutes or they are upset. Yes. At any rate, we've done this so many times. It just really gets you into the culture. And every message that I preach out there is always translated because of the dialects and the other languages. So it gives you a sense of what we do when we minister there in Burkina Faso. But I remember doing it one time and sitting down with Joan in the front row. And I said something to her in English. And there were some kids right behind. And one boy said, right out loud, he said, he speaks English. he was distraught. What in the world, that white guy up there talking like that over and over and over. Yeah, I speak English. You know, you go into schools like that and they say, now you have to understand, these are public schools. And public schools, we don't mention the name Jesus, and we don't talk about that type of. So we want you to talk about the weather, and what you eat, and all that crazy stuff. And I said, sure, whatever you say. But invariably, one of the kids will raise their hand. But Mister, what do you do over there? You know, I'm glad you asked that question. And then I tell them about leading people to Jesus Christ, having their lives transformed, leading a new life in Christ, and establishing a church, planting the church in a village where they've never heard about Jesus Christ, bringing a pastor in and starting an assembly there, and so on and so on. That's the ministry we're about. And we're going to show that to you on video right now. What it takes to plant a church among the bubble. Now, I am not Jeremy, but he's in the video. You'll see him. He'll be walking back and forth. That's why I walked back and forth. And he's also leading the singing, and he also has a great smile on his face. He loves the Lord. And he's the last picture you'll see on the video.